Hello and welcome to another episode of Running Gingerly Podcast. I hope you've all had a good week out there on the trails. Kev, how are you? You in good form?
I'm in good form. I'm on the taper weeks.
So I'm feeling
full of energy and generally enjoying life. I'm also on holidays, so that is good. Though holidays in Ireland are very sunny. But yeah, life's good.
I was going to say it's probably one of those few weeks, rare weeks, where we're at opposite ends of the spectrum. I have slightly tired legs having had my first race of the year, and you're in taper week ahead of your first big race this weekend. So we're, slightly opposite ends of the spectrum for once in where our legs are at. Yours feel great. But mine's still a bit sore, I would imagine,
Probably equal in terms of we're not doing a lot of running this week. Doing an easy week.
I'm back six. Well, we're trying to do 6 days again this week. So I ran Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Where are we on Wednesday? Yeah. So, I took Sunday off after the race. But otherwise, back into it. So, it was a shorter race. So we'll come on to that. It was the Centurion 100 Hills race at the weekend. But so you're back in Ireland as well. Resting up. Do you do a little kind of leg loosener, one or two, before your race on Saturday? Is that the plan?
I think so. My previously, what I've done is done nothing the week. The week I do a 10-mile run or something. A week before the race and do nothing. But I'm following a new training plan, so I was out today for 50 minutes with 30-second sprints, a few now. And I think I'll do a little bit tomorrow and maybe even a bit on Friday. So hope it's a different day rather than doing nothing. But last time I ran this race, I suffered from a bit of an injury. So I'm hoping, keep the muscles warm in the week before.
That's my race. Yeah, we'll come on to your preview of your big race. But should we kick off on making it all about me
please do. Well, first, do you want to tell us what the 100 hills are, because I don't know these 100 hills.
I didn't know them until very recently either. So it's Centurion Running, who we've been doing their races now for 12 years, which that's some going. I think since 2013 was the first time we ran one of their races, so we've been running with Centurion for 12 years now. And they always put on great events. They always have done right since the beginning. They're very enjoyable, really well run. They are. So if anyone's looking to get into ultras or anything, we always, I think, advise people to have a look at the Centurion calendar. They do get booked up. But we've done some bad races with other people as well, haven't we? Where the course markings are terrible or there's no aid stations or I don't know. So you know what you're going to get with Centurion. It's always very, very well run. So it's a good way. It's a good entry point, I would say, to anyone.
Yeah, and there's a nice community as well. We've met a few.
The tag list of who the people
we've met. But we've met some people and sort of stay in touch, or you see them at other races, which we haven't on necessarily when we've run races with different companies or different organizations. So that's really nice as well.
Yeah, no, there is a great community. And actually, that was one of the nice things turning up on Saturday morning. I was weirdly really nervous, which is one of the things we were going to chat about as well. But in terms of what the race is, it was a 50K race in Stoner Park, which is in Oxfordshire, I think. A lot of ups and downs, as the name would suggest, 100 hills. Really, really nice. I mean, it's about an hour from where I'm based, and it would have been even less from where you used to be based in Princess Risborough. Yet we never ventured there. We always ran along the ridgeway, but kind of this way. And I went out and recce'd it about 4 weeks ago with Mark and Inocenti. I recce'd just the second half, the second loop. Yeah. And I was like, this place is lovely. So, it might be somewhere I go and run again in the future. So a nice little discovery from that point of view. Last year was the first edition. So first time Centurion have done this. So this was edition number two. And I think judging by, I mean, I think there was over 400 people there this year. I think it's been a big success, and I suspect that it will be a firm fixture in their calendar as a kind of start of year event. So yeah, so that was the event. It's 50K. So yeah, a bit shorter. I can't remember the exact details on vert, but there are a lot of up and down. On
Yeah, I
kind of
think the
forest trails, little bit of road, little bit of kind of those fire track almost thing. A lot of mud, obviously, this time of year. But yeah, a good, really beautiful course. So yeah.
and were the hills the 100 of them, were they like how steep, how runnable, how long were they for it? Like, was it a
Yeah, they were reasonable hills, I would say. You know, some of them were quite steep. A lot of people were walking on the hills. I had made a pact to myself that I was going to run the whole thing again. I was trying to try, you know, straddle a balance of this being of racing this hard, but also it being part of my train a wider training block. It's not an A or a B race for me for the year. And so I was slight kind of not quite treating it as training, but I was determined I was going to just run the all hills. Which worked for me, and you know, I know my own strengths, and I think you know, some of the people that were on the start line are incredibly fast runners, and I was never going to be able to do kind of live at that pace that they have. I mean, there's a few. I mean, Robbie Britton was there, who's you know the GB 24-hour record holder, but also just you know he can run very, very fast. There was
I was going to say, I've heard he's done sub 3 hours for 50K on the road. So that's fast.
And there's another guy there, Thomas Wright, who we've run at. I think it went over 50. He's run been on the start line before, and we've run there. And he recently, a few weeks ago, ran a 67-minute half marathon. So
Oh,
you know,
tasty.
again, that's very, very fast. And then there was another guy I saw, Hugo Hewitt, who I just pipped in a sprint finish, which was a good a good finish to the race. And he was right up at the front for most of it, and then I think just tailed off a bit. But he has a 5K time, which is I think it's something like it's a sub 15-minute 5K time. So you know, so some very, very fast individuals that, as I said, I was never going to be able to kind of keep at that pace. And so my tactic was to run everything, and you know, I was strong, you know, I was passing people probably on the ups and the downs and then losing the places on the flats. My only slight thing on that is that there was a couple of times I was running and up hills and thinking, this is hard, maybe I should be walking. And then I saw just today a little clip. There was one video, there's been various video clips of the race, and I think there was one point I saw Mark Derbyshire, who obviously won the race and is, you know, an incredible runner, was kind of speed hiking up one little bit of a hill. And I thought, ah, okay, if he was doing that, maybe it would have been tactically slightly better to maybe speed hike one or two of the bigger ones and run the rest. But so yeah, so in terms of the hills, there's some bigger hills, like nothing more than a couple of minutes effort, really. So you know, runnable from that point of view. There was quite a few people with poles. I think that would have been a bit of a faff for me in terms of getting them out and getting them in. I don't think they're probably worthwhile for the short hills, really, myself. And obviously with the shorter race, I don't think your legs get quite so tired. So yeah, it was good. But as I said, I was very nervous on my drive down there, and I don't know whether that was because I was doing the race myself. I'm so used to doing it with you or with someone else, or I didn't. I
Are you
just
calm and
drove down there
present?
myself, random. Yeah, or even just, you know, I've had sport crews and other friends and stuff come to races. You know, I drove there myself, ran the race, and then drove home myself. And I guess driving there, you've no one to kind of talk it over or do that. And I think I was also just, I like easing myself into a race, and that's why I do the longer stuff. You know, you can kind of find, I always feel I have that strength. I knew with this one, it was going to be hard from the beginning. And I was going to have to push myself from the beginning and then just hope you don't kind of blow up. And so I guess I was just nervous about getting that right, a little bit, and trying to pace it right. So I guess
We
that was a that was playing on my mind a little bit, I think.
Nervous of the pain. I find it's all, I find certainly it's only with training and stuff, but if it says go out for a 3-hour run on my training plan, I can easily do that. But when it says go out for hill sprints, it's just like, oh, I don't. And then you go out for the longer ones, they hurt, but they hurt in a gradual way. It's not like these ones where you're all right, it's going to hurt right from the very start.
Yeah, exactly. That, and that comes back to the, you know, the caliber of people that were running the race, and just knowing that. I mean, there was never like, there's never a question of whether you can do it or not, you know. It was just, can you do it and get what you want out of it by trying to pace it? So so yeah, it was good. And I also kind of got into it. I flip-flopped a little bit between what I wanted this race to be. I think initially when I said to you I'd signed up, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do it as part of my training block. It'll just be my long run at the weekend. And, yeah, you know, I won't taper into it. I'll just do the race, you know, it'll be good experience. And, you know, then I'll move on with my training block and, you know, towards my kind of A and B race later in the year in May and August. And then, as always, you think, oh, you're gonna try, you know, you're not just gonna do it, are you? You're gonna try and race. And I started looking at it a bit more, and then because I've only run it once, I was looking at the times last year, and I thought, you know what, based on my training and what I've been doing, I think, you know, and looking at times last year, I was like, I think I could be in the mix for kind of, you know, top three here, you know, getting the podium, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
So I was kind of looking at that going, okay, well, and so then I kind of shifted to more, okay, well, let's give this one a really good go. And I started trying to do a bit more speed and, you know, kind of gearing up and going, actually, do you know what, I will do this and do a full taper into it and really give it a good go. And then about 3-4 weeks ago, I was looking back at it. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to dig into this a bit more and have a look at times and finishes and all that. And I was just on the website, and I was like, I'll just check the entrance again to see who's there. And then suddenly there'd been this late rush of entrants, which include Mark Derbyshire, Robbie Britton, Callum Pritchard. I was just like, oh, God. So there goes any chance of getting on the podium or anything else. It was like, oh, and there was another lad who actually came fourth, who I think had done a sub 3-hour Wendover. Anyone who knows Wendover Woods, he'd managed to run a sub 3-hour marathon around there. And yeah, there's just a lot of quick people. And so, yeah, you got to be realistic. I mean, people like Robbie and Mark Derbyshire, I mean, they do a different sport to us, really, let's be honest. They're like miles ahead. So then I flip-flop back to, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. You know, do I just treat it as a part of training block or whatever else? And so in the end, I kind of said, well, actually, I'd like to kind of do well and run my own race and get top 10. But I'm not fully going to taper into it. So, you know, still doing my hill sprints the week before. I kind of did a 1-week taper rather than a 2-week taper into it. And then, as I said, I was back running again on Monday. But that's not to say, I mean, I absolutely gave it everything on the day. But, you know, you could maybe taper a little bit more into it, maybe get a little bit more out. But, you know, I gave it absolutely everything I had.
What was the week? How did you lead up to it from like a week out? Like, so say the weekend before, where you, in terms of your age, because I don't really know exactly what I'm doing in terms of tapering, because I'm just...
Yeah. So the week before, I kind of kept it pretty normal. Like 2 weeks out, I kept it pretty normal. So I ran 6 days, did my hills, did my sessions. Long run at the weekend wasn't super long. I think it was 3 hours or, you know, maybe 2.5 hours, 3 hours. So not super long, but long enough. And then the week into it, I ran on Monday, had a rest day on Tuesday, ran Wednesday, rest day Thursday, little run Friday, raced on Saturday. So, yeah, you know, so reasonable, you know, for me, reasonable taper into it.
Did that feel okay?
Yeah, it felt good. I mean, the race went really to plan, I think. You know, there wasn't really anything that didn't. I think it was a fair reflection of where I'm at and what I could do, and I was pretty pleased with it. As you said, it was not, I mean, again, you have to think with the nerves, going back to that, you know, nervous for, and then you get there and you're like, oh God, there's a load of people here. Like, why do I think I can get in the, like, it's 400 people. Why do I think I can get in the top 0.2 2.5% or whatever here. So that always throws me. I mean, you're just kind of on the start line looking around, but everyone here looks fast and fit. Why do I think I could do that? But yeah, but it was nice because you know I got there and I met Drew, who works at Centurion, and said hello, which was nice. And then yeah, checking in, James Elson was there, the race director, and he had a little chat with him. He's like, oh, I didn't realize you were doing it, and nice to see you and all that. So yeah, you know, as you said, there's a great and there's a few other faces there that I know and said hello to. So yeah, there's a really nice community around those races. Which always puts you at ease. So it went, we lined up at the start. I lined up as far, probably the second row, I think, is the evidenced by the pictures. I think he had Robbie and a few others at the front. And they just went off like an absolute rocket. And I was just like, there's no point whatsoever going with that lead pack of about, I'd say there was a lead pack of about five or six went off, which was kind of Robbie, Mark, this Hugo Hewitt chap went off, I think, with them. I think Tom Wright went off with them as well. Callum Pritchard, you know, so there was a group of five or six that were very strong, went off very quickly. Then there was probably another five or six in front of me that I could kind of straggled between that lead bunch and where I was. So I was in 15th kind of from fairly early on. And those other kind of stragglers I could see ahead of me, and they weren't particularly pulling away. They just kind of, you know, people you could keep an eye on. And I just kind of ran my own race. I think I got quite, after about an hour or so, I was not feeling great in that. I kind of got this thing in my head of, I was like, I haven't gone fast enough to stick with the lead guys, and that is the right call. Like, I couldn't do it. But then I'd always had my thing was like, just trust yourself. You'll have endurance and speed in the second half. You know, when it comes to the second loop, you'll be flying and, you know, you'll catch up people. And, you know, that was always kind of the plan. But then, after about an hour, I was like, because you're having to push, you know, it wasn't like I was like, this is, you know, my legs are feeling way more sore, and yet I'm still down in 15. So like they're not going to be fresh in the second half because I'm working really hard here. So, and then the longer it goes when people don't come back to you, I was just questioning myself, going, oh, well, maybe everyone ahead of me is just actually really quick and has paced this really well. And because it's only 50K rather than longer, maybe they don't come back to you. Maybe people won't blow up because it's not a long distance to blow up in, you know. It's not like running for a 50 mile or 100 mile where people properly blow up. And so the longer that went on, I was like, through first checkpoint, second checkpoint, through the halfway point, still all in 15th place, I think, in the results. I was like, for through all of those checkpoints, so to the halfway in 15th, and then I threw the next check, the first, I think there was a first checkpoint in the second loop, still in 15th. And at that point I was like, oh, well, maybe this is just where I'm at. Like, you know what I mean? It's, you know, maybe I just haven't got the legs I thought I did, or, you know, because I was feeling tired, pushing it. And then suddenly, I guess about 35K, so not long after that kind of first checkpoint on the second loop, there was quite a big hill. And I saw a couple of people walking the hill. And I thought, okay. And because I was trying to run all the hills, I caught two of them on that hill. And that gave me a real kind of, suddenly that gave me the boost of like, okay, right, maybe it is starting to get, people are starting to come back. And then just kind of fairly steadily moved through from 15th, and obviously did manage to sneak inside the top 10 just about in eighth. And so then you again, it's such a mental thing, isn't it? Then suddenly you're like, oh yeah, I feel great now. And you're like, you don't obviously feel great, but just because you're catching people and there's other people who are feeling worse than you, you're like, oh, okay. So
I
yeah,
think.
so no, it actually all went to plan, but I just didn't really believe in my own plan for about 35 of that 50K.
I think it's an interesting thing, like that idea of, you know, you say you'll take it easy and then push on in the second half. It's always going to hurt. And the fact like you are pushing really hard, even when you're inverted commas taking it easy, you're still running longer than a marathon and you're still running it fast. Well, just fast in general. It might not be as fast as the people ahead of you, but it's still fast and it still hurts. and just
So faster than
thinking,
I would like. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, well, of course you're tired, but yeah, just not knowing what everyone else is, and that the fact that you're very tired, but you're not bonking
in the same way the people
ahead of you are. I would also like to call you
Yeah.
up on this. You know, it's only
You don't collapse.
you don't bonk in the same way as other races. You can definitely bonk it if it's longer than a marathon. You can
Oh,
have
yeah.
very, very big bonks.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a few people in the race who obviously it did go wrong for. I mean, Robbie himself was way out in the lead. He also had some stomach issues, and just didn't go right for him. But, when I just asked him, was he all right when I went past? And he just said, I just went too hard. It turns out, I think it was a mixture of going hard and then just getting the fueling a bit wrong. But yeah, so nice to know that it can happen to the best of
Yeah.
these disasters aren't limited to people like ourselves, right? That the very good athletes can also have the same issues with stomach and getting things wrong. So no, absolutely you can. But as I said, it was all just mental in my head that I was like, well, I'm hurting now, and I'm not at the front, and so why do I think people are going to come back to me? But as I said, it's just having that confidence. And that's why, I've done very few short races. And so all the long stuff, it's different, isn't it? You build into the race and you know how you feel and you can endure. This was about trying to run hard for, four and a bit hours and try and maintain that. And I think it did. That was got like one of the interesting things. There was I was just looking at you, poring over the results as you do. And I think the top three guys were kind of, right. I mean, different class, I guess. But even like when I was looking at the guy who came fourth, a brilliant runner, he kind of was 4 minutes ahead of me at the first checkpoint and then finished 5 minutes ahead of me. And so the interesting thing was, for me, to the people above me, I lost the majority of the time in that first checkpoint, which to the first checkpoint. Now, I paced it well, and so maybe it all balances out, but there is still that part of me that it's like I just can't run fast enough that first bit. And I think if I did, I then wouldn't have been able to finish so strong. But that's where I lost the chunk of time, and I was pretty much bang on my schedule that I'd written for myself all the way, except from start to the ch first checkpoint. I was about 4 minutes down on where I wanted to be, and then I pretty much stayed. I think I ended up being just over a minute over my schedule that I'd kind of planned. So again, it was all just in that first bit when, just from a cold start, I just clearly can't get going enough for. But I don't regret that. I think, I ran the right pace for what I could
No,
do anyway,
I feel it's
to
also a
hold
little
it.
bit.
So.
A little bit of the I think it was Run with the Kenyans, the book Run with the Kenyans talks about, you know, how the Kenyans win. They also do
In a lot of marathons.
and the Japanese tradition tends to have a lot of people finishing at about 15 to 25
25.
because they pace it, whereas the Kenyan motto
All or
or
nothing.
all or
I
nothing.
would
Mark Darby
just say wins it, but
in
Robbie.
Britain was way out in front, but he was, you know, I go all out and maybe I hang on, and he didn't, because it was a bad day or something else.
What you're
But on
saying is
another day,
I should have gone harder.
no, I'm saying it's the right thing to do, but sprints off,
Line of 10 people
people sprinted off the start line, maybe can, hold it on. But most of them can't. And when you're planning your race, you're thinking, do I want, maybe, and sometimes you want to go, okay, I'm all or nothing. I'm either winning this or I'm going out in a ball of fire. But the sensible way of racing it, because you're, you know, there's no prize money or anything, is to say, I want to run best races,
A well-paced race.
and yes, it's
Yeah,
easy
and
to say.
I think it. Sorry, go on.
I think it's easy to say, oh well, I'll let them. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. It's easy to say I should have gone off with them, but you know that pushing it in those first 5, 10 miles could be a bit detrimental.
Yeah. And I think as well, that goes back to you know, going for all or nothing would have made sense when I was looking at the old start list and everything else. But to that point, I was never going to, you know, I was never going to trouble that kind of top three or so. So there was no point kind of risking everything because I know the outcome of that in that situation, right? So I think that was the right choice.
Yes. You know, you could say if things went differently, you might have run a few minutes faster, but you weren't catching Mark Derbyshire. What was I going to say? I was going to say that looking back on the time, it is nice to be able to say, well, if you ran the exact same time as last year, you would have finished second. Now, it might have been muddier or something else, or it's different. But if this and that. And
yeah. Although, as I said, it was more the fact that I set myself a time. And as I said, I was hoping to get in the top 10 and achieve both of those things. I ran to pace and I got in the top 10. So absolutely a success, you know, I think from my side, from what I wanted to do. And it was, you know.
Two other successes, I would say, where they had 12 people in the preview to watch and you finished.
You went
in the preview
for the people to watch,
but you showed you should have been. That was a good success.
I did say to James when I saw him at the beginning and he said, I didn't realize you were doing this race. I said, yeah, I know, you didn't put me in your preview. And he went, oh, well, yeah, I genuinely didn't think you were doing this. So it's all right. I prefer to be under the radar anyway on that one. The other thing was I did the race where I had decided beforehand I had all my fuel. Because again, I'm quite used to running for, you know, sort of 4 hours on a long run at the weekends without any aid stations or anything. I decided I wouldn't need them and didn't want to stop. Which again, you know, I think sometimes you lose a bit of time, you know, in a race like this. I mean, I think I was only, 20 minutes or so from Mark Derbyshire finishing where, you know, which, you know, if this was a long race, he'd be hours and hours ahead of us, you know, so the gaps are quite small and, you know, to lose 30 seconds or a minute at an aid station is quite probably significant. So I kind of, the trade-off is I was running with kind of all my gear and two full bottles from the start. Whereas some of the other guys at the front just had kind of, you know, the belts, I guess, with, you know, everything they needed in a belt rather than a backpack. And you just run with a handheld soft blast or whatever else, so you could be lighter. But I'd made that decision and that worked fine. Nutrition was good. I had one wobble where I've talked about this on podcasts before. Just like, you just never learn. So it was the first checkpoint on the second loop. And actually it was a nice morning and it was like the sun was out in the morning, which we haven't had any sun in the UK. It feels like for weeks, it's just been raining. So it's still very muddy underfoot, but actually the weather was quite nice for the first couple of hours. It clouded over the second half. But so I was sweating quite a lot and drinking quite a lot because it was warmer than expected. And so I'd gone through the halfway point in the first loop and then and there was two other aid stations between then and the finish. So the first, I think,
yeah,
off the top of my head, I think it was two, maybe there was three. But anyway, the first aid station on the first loop, I decided running into it that one of my soft flasks was about three quarters finished and I had a spare one I'd stuck in my backpack, which I'd put a little bit of mountain fuel in as well, just to have a bit of electrolytes and stuff in there. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to actually just refill at this one. So I was running into the aid station. I'd got it out of my bag. So I was all prepared to be really quick. And I took out the old one, which I was going to then stick in my backpack and get the crew to fill up the new one. And I realized there was about a quarter of it left. So what do I do? What shouldn't I do? I just necked that, shoved it in my backpack. And then the crew had filled up my other one ready to go. So it was a really quick transition through there. But you kind of, when you, I don't know if it's whether you stop running because you're in such a flow and then you stop running and then the chugging of a quarter of one. And then I start to go again. And I just had this absolute wave of nausea. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to be sick again. And I know from experience, it doesn't matter the length of the race. Once your stomach goes, it can often spiral quite badly, can't it? Because then you think, I need to get some energy in, and then it keeps going, and then you can get stomach cramps and everything else. So I was like, oh no, just this wave. I was like, I've just got to try and get this through this. So I actually just stopped and slowed right down for, I don't know, a couple of minutes. And I know one lad went past me at that point. But I was just like, and then I did, it kind of waved past and then it got going again and fine. I was like, okay. So yeah, just like, again, do not chug things. Like, that's just a bad idea. But also I wonder if the momentum change just, your stomach settles and then goes again. I don't know if it sparks something in it, but again, little learning. I think that was the right thing to do, is to just try not to be, because at one point I was like, oh, should I just vom? And I was like, no, try. Let's try and avoid that. Just slow down. So
well, it seems a very mature way to do it, and a mature race to do that, you know. What was the general fueling plan? Like, how often were you eating and stuff? Because I think, well, I think everyone will be interested. Well, I'm interested. Like, how often were you eating and what were you eating?
Every 40 minutes I had something, was the plan. And that's what I find if I'm running. And again, this has been just only in the last year and trying to run a bit faster on my longer runs, maybe. I find if I'm out in the mountains or whatever else, I probably only need to eat something every hour. You know, you're going at a slightly different pace, slightly slower pace, different. It's different. I think running fast, I find I need to be eating every, maybe even 35 minutes, 35 or 40 minutes. I was trying to take something on. This time I just went with the mix of, I had in one pocket, I had three Mountain Fuel, lemon and lime flavored gels, which is about 100. Calories, I guess, in a gel. Cals, about 100 cals in a gel, I think. And in the other pocket, on my other side, I had three of the Precision Fuel and Hydration chews, which I really like. I've only just got into them. I think they're great. But I found the first lot went down fine. The second two lots I found trickier, because they're a bit drier, and I think when you're running fast and you're a bit dehydrated, they're a bit harder to get down. So I think they'd be great in long mountain stuff when you don't necessarily have that, because they're a bit more savory than some of the other chews, and then they're packed full, like they're really good, they're loads of energy. So that was it. So I was just alternating between one and the other. I got through five of the six, I think. I don't think, and then I had one bottle of water, and I had then one bottle with some of the Mountain Fuel in it, but I didn't put a full sachet in there, because sometimes that's a bit much, I think, maybe for the stomach. So it was only a kind of half sachet in with the 500 mils of water. So that was it. So yeah, it worked well. Kept it really simple, short race. Yeah, so that was all good.
Good.
So no, it was a great day out, really good. The other day, across the line, absolutely knackered, and the lady was like looking at my bib, and I wasn't sure why she was looking at my bib, and she went, oh no, I was just trying to see if you're if you planted a tree or not. You know, when you're in that, like, what? You're just slightly confused. And then I realized, yeah, and then you realize that Centurion do this, lots of races I think do it now, that's really good, trees not tees. So the idea being, you, instead of getting your race t-shirt, you plant a tree. So I was like, oh okay, right, yeah. I couldn't remember, you know, when I registered, I couldn't remember doing that, but you know, definitely the right thing to do, I think, at this stage, having run, have a lot of race tees, I don't need another one. And then just behind her, there was a table with a load of nice 100 Hills medals.
Yeah,
and she looked at my bib and went, yeah, you don't get one, on you go. And I was like, oh, but do I get a medal? And she's like, no, you've planted a tree instead. And in that moment, like, as much as you know you've done the right thing planting a tree, I was like, oh, I'd quite like a medal.
I'm going to ask,
because
did you have,
they don't
a medal
do t-shirts
Monday
anymore.
Yeah,
no, but they don't do the t-shirts anymore, for the right reason, that, you know, there's an awful lot of wastage if you're producing a specific t-shirt for every race and all of that. So that's completely the right thing. But actually, I guess because the kind of logo, or the motto is, you know, trees not tees, it's not trees not medals. I was kind of like, I didn't realize I'd signed up not to get a medal. But anyway, and I know, as I said, I know it's the right thing. But in that very moment, when you just cross the line and you're knackered, you're like, oh, I would quite like a medal.
Yeah.
So yeah, then had some nice, the Centurion always have a nice little bit of hot food afterwards. So I had a nice bit of vegan chili, I think, afterwards. It was a cup of, and a cup of tea and a sit and a chat. And I always like that. Like, it's funny, in the race, I chat to a couple of people as you do, but again, when you're breathing out your arse, it's a bit harder to have a conversation with people. So it's always nice when you finish then to have those chats with people who all seem very kind of serious when you're racing with them, and then everyone's quite friendly afterwards. So as I said, I had this kind of, not quite as close as I'd get to a sprint finish with this Hugo Hewitt. Unfortunately, I think he'd blown up a bit and was walking up a hill when I caught him near the end, and then he started running again once I caught him. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to go for this. So I felt strong at the end, which was the other good thing. I had a little wobble, maybe a couple of mile or two out, when I started to feel a little bit maybe, and I think I took on another gel, so I was feeling a bit. But I had something left, so I kind of gave it socks at the end to get across ahead of him. And then when I finished, I was like, when he came across, I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, you made me run there at the end. And he was like, oh, I wasn't going to catch you. But yeah, really nice guy. Nice to have a chat. I think he's only like early 20s, so has a good 20 years on me. So I'm sure he'll go on. And as I said, he's the one who's got a sub 15 minute 5K. So I'm sure he'll go on to do wonderful things in trail running if he keeps at it. Or whether he's got, I don't know, if he focuses on the track.
It is definitely a nice, a lot of things about the community is great. And I do enjoy chatting as you go around, but afterwards it's nice
Can compare now.
notes. And I was like, oh, do you remember that hill? It was bad, or it's really muddy.
It's harder.
How do you feel? Because you've all done the same experience. You've had met the same challenges. So it's really nice.
I think I was still kind of sat in the tent when Robbie finished, and I did think that, fair play, he even has a bit of banter when he's not had a good race. He kind of came into the tent and he was like, why is there loads of people here? Which I thought was quite funny, because I guess he's used to being the first back. I thought, yeah, fair play that you can still have a laugh and a joke about it at the end. So
That's
that
nice.
was good. But yeah, no, there was another Irish lad there, Dylan. We had a nice chat with
He's a
out on
good
the
runner.
course as well. We ran together. We ran together. Yeah, he was very he was strong. He was one of the ones who had his poles out. We had a nice chat during the race for a bit, and then we did chat at the end as well. So always nice to chat to fellow Irish runners and hear what they're up to. I think he's planning to do, I think he said he's doing his first 100 miler maybe this year. He's hoping to, I think it was him was talking about South Downs. There's a couple of people talking about a South Downs 100. That seems to be a very popular one for a lot of people this summer.
And this
But yeah, no,
summer,
so that's a,
the South Downs is also member World Series.
so it's a,
You can do
yeah,
like a
I've seen
rival
that.
UTMB type style race. So that's why it's already sold out, I'm sure, but it's why there's extra focus on it this year.
But yeah, so the finish was great. Hang around and watch some people come in and have a chat to some people, and yeah, just a really nice kind of vibe and community. Yeah, and then eventually tried to do a little bit of stretching because I knew I was going to be sore the next day, and then headed off home. And it was interesting because obviously I ran the Trail of Chateau, as we said, towards the end of December, which was another short race, albeit more in the mountains with proper Swiss mountains, so big climbs and big descents. And I think I said to you at the time, I enjoyed that, but I didn't feel like I gave it everything and whatever else. Whereas, like, my legs were in a lot worse state after 100 Hills than they were after that race. I kind of, certainly Saturday night and even a bit Sunday night, when you're lying in bed and you're trying to sleep and your legs are aching. So I definitely know that I gave it a good whack.
It's a good
Which was
feeling,
nice,
though.
to know that. Yeah. And it's what you want. Like, again, whether as a standalone race or, as I said, whether part of my training block, you've had a good run out and given it a good effort. So yeah, it was great. I think I would definitely get it on anyone's list out there who's looking for something as a kind of you know, an intro to ultra distance. I think it's a great race. I think it's a great race for kind of start a season as well. You know, March time to be doing a 50K if you want to build to bigger stuff later in the year. I think it's great. Really nice course, well run. Bit muddy. If you don't like the mud, maybe not. but yeah, it was good. So I'm pleased. So that's all done, and now roll on to UTS in May. So I need to try and find some mountain strength and mountain legs in the next few weeks. That'll be the plan. So all the fast stuff goes out the window, and yeah, just go up and down some hills for a while. Which I'm really looking forward to, I have to say. I don't really like running very fast. I'd much rather suffer going up and down the hills than belting along fast. So I think I'm probably looking forward to this next block now, knowing I have a bit of a good base and a bit of speed there to hopefully build on. So,
well, I have a question. Looking at this, you know, you did very well. You were eighth in a high class field, like a very high class field. Is it possible that, for all our chat about the long distances and 100 miles, are we actually better shorter distance runners? Yeah,
we've had better results. Yeah, we've had better results, haven't we? At 50Ks. 50 miles. Obviously, you've done a bit on the continent in your shorter races up and down. I think the key to it is not shorter. The key to it is up and down, I think, because again,
yeah. Yes.
That's where I was strong in this race, and I lost time where it was flatter because I don't have the speed in the legs. So yes, there may be something that may be better in shorter races, but we need the ups and downs. I think that's the point. But I like the long stuff. I mean, and it's all relative, isn't it? You know, you say you come in the top 10 with a race with 400, but you go over to UTMB and there's thousands of people racing. So percentage wise, is it any better? I don't know. And the caliber of field and all of that. So it's, you know, each their own. It's, you know, it's what you enjoy. I was reminiscing on the fact that, as I said, it's 12 years of running Centurion races. And I think it's like, without patting myself on the back, I think it's quite a good achievement that in that whole 12 years of running Centurion races, for 12 years, we have been in and around the top 10 at every race that we've done. Which, given the ultra scene has kind of blown up, and undoubtedly there's better runners now, there's more people doing them, the races are more competitive, and I've got considerably older, as you have too, albeit you're starting from a younger base. But from kind of starting them in my, I guess, early 30s, and now being in my mid 40s, to still be in and around the top 10, I thought that's quite a good body of work for kind of 12 years, isn't it? Be able to maintain that level, because I think while I'm not placing any higher, as I said, I think actually the performances are higher and the performances are better because it is just getting more competitive. So I gave myself a little pat on the back for that, for not letting the side down yet in a Centurion race and coming way down the pecking order. So
no, and I think it's,
let's
also
see how long we can continue.
I think it's also a good thing, the aside from that, but also to think of all the life changes you have, like when you're in your mid 30s, you know, kids or anything like this, and now it's a totally different life. You don't have the same sort of time, and amongst all the job changes and balancing everything, to have kept up that consistency, and it shows how much you liked it. You keep going back for 12 years.
indeed. Just got a few more to go before I can get into the vet 50, because that was the other annoying thing with this. You know, when you think, oh well, I'm not going to get in the top three now because these guys are here, you're like, oh, maybe there's a chance I can get the old man prize, and then you realize Mark Darvish's over 40 as well, and you're like, oh well, there goes that prize as well. So yeah, Anyway, I think that's more than enough about me and the Centurion race. As I said, do go check it out. If you're looking for a race next year, I'm sure it'll be back on the calendar. Great little race. Big shout out to James and all the volunteers and you know, all the Centurion team who do such a great job at all these races. So thank you all to them. I'm sure we will keep coming back for more. Still don't think they know which one of us is which, but you know, they always just see one ginger Irish person turn up and they, you know, assume we're both there. Always throws them when there's only one of us, I think.
Yeah,
I think the other one's lost on the course somewhere, sending out mountain rescue. but yeah, what about you? So you have coming up on Saturday, Morris Mullins race in, back in Wicklow, which is also the Irish Trail Champs. It's a bit exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it is. I was just going to add one last thing to the other one. Was that
more about me? Okay.
More about you was like I think about 5 years after Robbie Britton beat Chris, our little brother, in the 5K COVID speed race. Finally got revenge. It took about 5 years, and finally, Shannon managed to beat Robbie Britton. Yeah. I don't think we thought it'd be you, but over 50K. But
thanks. I was definitely the least likely to for that to happen. But yeah, our little speedster brother maybe, but yeah, not anyway. Yeah, so our Irish Trail Champs, and this year it's again. Last year you ran it, and it was. Am I right in saying it was 80K last year?
There was the World Trail Championships have basically an 80K race and a 50K race. So last year they ran a 50K race and an 80K race to select
the team. This year
there is a European Trail Championships, but they don't have an 80K race. So they're just doing the 50K race. So there's just a 50K race on Saturday. So it should
a bit
be
shorter and sharper as well for you.
Yeah, it's going to be similar to you. It's what it was where
faster and less
mountainous than I'd probably like. But for people who are coming from the road, it's going to be longer and more mountainous than they expect. So I think it's about 50K, well, it's 51 and a half K, I think, with 2,500 meters of. It's a decent
race.
Meters.
Yeah, 2,500 meters of ascent. So it's 7 feet. It's about 7,000 feet, 7,000 and something.
Yeah. So more than the 100 hills is about 4,000, I think, ish. So
excuse if I'm
more than you know.
So I can say
it is. Although I think 100 hills is more up and down, so it's in a way like yours are longer. Knowing the Wicklow Mountains, right? They're longer climbs, longer descents. So I don't know how that features, but yeah, obviously last year you had a great race. Last year, I think, did you come eighth or seventh?
I came eighth. Yeah,
with a slight injury, so you know.
Yeah, you know, last year I wasn't that pleased because. Yeah, I was the first time in a while I ran and I felt the injury and it just it's so much
how you feel
at the end of the race is not really what position you finish or your time, but do you feel you gave it your best? And I've come much further down in placings in races and felt delighted and come maybe even higher up in some races and not felt good.
Yeah. Really maxed out.
Really did a good performance. So last year I was the
injury and I felt
it was a hard struggle and I wasn't right and then the leg wasn't right and it all wasn't great. So yeah, back again. It'll be a bit more competitive than last year, I'd say, because there's only one race. But I'm
hoping. Do you know who are the big guns in there? Who are a couple of the Irish. Big gun. Ricky Wynn's not doing it. Obviously, he won the 100K last year. Gav Byrne, anyone else doing the shorter stuff? I don't know who's down on the start list.
Well, this is the thing with
IMRA, the Irish Mountain Running. It's a bit different to the British scene in that you don't get any start lists. So I know there's about 300, 350, but I don't know the start list. Yeah. So you turn up on the day and see who's there.
Eye each other up and see who's there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
So I don't know who's there.
And now the other one, obviously, is this is in the Wicklow Mountains. Weather there can be absolutely awful. I know there was some snow there not that long ago. Could be an absolute bog fest, I guess. What's the forecast looking like for you? Not that it makes any difference what the forecast is, because the weather will just be what the weather is now in those mountains. But
exactly. And they tend to give forecasts for
rather than the mountains,
because the mountains are a lot less predictable. It's forecast to be wet, but not lashing rain. Drizzle, maybe, which would be drizzle. I'd definitely take drizzle. Cold drizzle.
Which will be up high will be lashing rain, clearly, with the wind coming in off the sea.
Everything, yeah.
I don't know. That might play to your favour. You never know. You never know.
I'm not sure. I'm not used to running in wind and rain anymore, but I did grow up around here. That's so true. Hopefully that I still have some of that that toughness in.
Just before we wrap up, what is the aim? Have you set yourself a kind of time goal, a place goal? I don't know. What are you just gonna give it your best shot, or is there have you got something in mind that you're kind of focusing on trying to do or execute?
Well, I'm not sure. Like that, they reckon the winners are going to be about 4.5 hours. So you know, if you're anywhere around that, you're very pleased. But yeah, I'm
telling
people I'm probably between 4.5, and I'd like to be under 5 hours. I think for over five, it probably isn't gone according to plan, but. Hard to tell until we're out on it and see how the race goes.
It's hard. I thought that going into the 100 hills as well, because I hadn't recced it. So, as I said, I'd done the second loop, because I always think it's better to know the finishing half than the starting half. But so when you're trying to work out your pacing and your minute mile pace, you're totally blind as to what, you know, you can pick a number out of the air and go, well, you know, when I run around here, this is roughly what I'm doing. But until you know actually what the terrain's like underfoot and how steep the hills are, it's very hard to do it, isn't it? So, and I guess with Maurice Mullins, you know some of the course, but I guess you don't know all of it, do you?
No,
certainly I don't get to train on it, right? So, in terms of pacing, you'd probably not sure.
No, I don't know. And even when I have recced races before, I remember recking Trail de Chateau. And it took me like 6 hours or something like that. And then I raced it and just much faster.
And you know where the race is.
Like, oh, wow, I'm like hours faster. So unless you do a race recce, you don't really have a great appreciation. It's good for knowing where not to get lost. But otherwise it's hard. Well, I'm hoping to have a good run, enjoy myself and see
a pint of Guinness afterwards, job done.
Exactly.
It'll be close enough to Johnny Fox's.
Johnny's highest pub in Ireland.
I was going to say.
Maybe go straight there.
Good point. Very good. Well, best of luck with that one. I will be dot watching or following along. I guess there will be some sort of tracker somewhere to keep an eye on you and see how you're going. So that'll be my Saturday morning fun. Good luck with that. And I think we can have a chat about it on the next podcast and hear how it all went and have a full debrief then on Maurice Mullins. As ever, thank you for tuning in. If you do get a chance, do like, follow, subscribe wherever you can, or leave us a comment. Always welcome for feedback. Tell your mates about it. And otherwise, yes, we shall be back in a couple of weeks with the next edition. Thank you for tuning in. Bye.